Good morning. I'm going to be reading from two Bible passages today. The first one is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. And you can use a Bible, if you don't have your own, from the welcoming desk over there. And if you are using one of those Bibles, you can find that passage on page 898. Okay, so Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." The second passage that I'm reading from is James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. And if you're using one of our Bibles, you can find that on page 1045. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, 'God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble.' Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up."
Well, g'day, everyone. Was I a bit loud there? Give some of you a fright.
G'day!
If we haven't met before, my name is Isaac Raya, and I'm really pleased that I get to look at James chapter 4 with you this morning and a bit of Luke 15. James is such an amazing book in the Bible. It was actually one of the first books in the Bible that I read, and I was very challenged by it, and I was in love with it, and I still am, of course. And the thing I love about the book of James is the whole book just feels like a punch in the gut. It can be a really good wake-up call and really change the way that you think. So before we start talking about it, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father God, you are so good. You are so wise, Lord. Speak to us this morning. Change our hearts and help us to live so that we would worship you. Amen. Why did you get out of bed this morning, Summerlees? Or should I ask, why do you get out of bed on any given morning? or in some cases, afternoon. A bit high contrast there, but it's all right. Like, what's the point in it all? Do you get out of bed because you have to, for work or school or family? Or maybe because sometimes you want to, because of the exciting weekend ahead of you, or because you started a new job and you're excited to give it your best shot, or maybe because Mum's making pancakes this morning. Or maybe you just get out of bed without any reason. You don't need a reason to get out of bed. It's just what you do once you're sick of lying down. You just want to get out of bed already. Well, today, I want to give you a really good reason to get out of bed tomorrow. And really, a good reason to get out of bed any day, not just exclusively tomorrow. And this good reason to get out of bed is to be with God. And I'm not just talking about doing a morning devotion every morning on YouVersion with a cup of coffee and toast or cereal, whatever you have for brekkie. That's a great thing to do. I'm not just talking about getting a Bible reading and prayer habit routine going. It's not that's as awesome as that is. I'm talking about a new and improved attitude to life. And my hope and prayer is that this talk will refresh you and restore you and make you in love with God again, or perhaps for the first time. And that's because He is a good and loving God. A good and loving God who doesn't let rejection and unfaithfulness stop Him from loving His people. And that's the big idea this morning. I reckon James chapter 4 verses 10 offers this big idea. Rejection and unfaithfulness doesn't stop God from loving His people. And to just clarify, I mean us rejecting God and being unfaithful to Him doesn't stop Him from loving us. I have 3 points that I'd like to talk about this morning and talk about this passage and what it tells us. So listen carefully, write notes, and keep your Bibles open on James chapter 4, because we'll be referring to James 4 throughout the talk. Now, my first point might be a bit uncomfortable to some, and that's because my first point is an ugly truth about us humans. Here it is. We don't want God. Now, some of you might think, it's not an ugly truth, it just is the truth. I don't want God. Maybe some of you think, I do want God. Why are you telling me I don't want God? I want God too. But naturally, we humans don't want God. We don't want to bother with God, and what we do want is to live our own lives, play our own games, and have fun without being told what to do. And even if we really do have a desire for God, our human nature makes it easy to ignore Him sometimes in our lives or forget Him because of the other desires and distractions in our hearts. Read from verse 1 with me, James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So as James pointed out in verses 1 to 3, we have this desire that battles within us, and so we fight and quarrel. And a few times there, James talks about how we fight because we aren't getting what we want. So what is it that we want so badly? Is it God that we're fighting over and quarreling over? I don't think so. I think verse 4 gives us the answer, and that's friendship with the world. Now, that might not sound so bad to you, and it doesn't sound so bad to me either, especially the first time I read it. Like, you know, being a friend of planet Earth, that's a great thing. But when James talking about being a friend of the world here, he isn't talking about being a friend of the planet Earth, like I just said. No, that's not what he's saying. And he also isn't talking about being a friend of all the people who live in planet Earth. What he means when he talks about being a friend of the world versus being a friend of God is we are either chasing after the things society and human beings desire, that being self-satisfaction and pleasure, verse 3, among many other things, or we are chasing after the things of God and what he desires. And you can't do both. There is no third option or in between where you are friends with both the world and with God. And to illustrate further what I mean by this, let's look at that first statement in verse 4. He says, "You adulterous people!" And that's quite a harsh way to start a sentence if you ask me. In fact, doesn't it feel a bit random? He was just calling them out about their fighting and quarrels, and then he called them adulterous for it. The reason why is because he is talking about their relationship with God. James is using marriage as an example here, saying that if you choose friendship with the world instead of friendship with God, you are having an affair with the world and being unfaithful to God. And it's just like how Jesus said in the Gospels, you can't serve two masters, that you will either hate one and love the other, you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. So like I said before, and I've said a few times now, when it comes to friendship with the world and friendship with God, there is no in between. Like in marriage, you can't call it faithfulness if you're secretly seeing someone else. Now you might be listening and thinking, so what? Why does it matter if I'm God's friend or not? Well, as we read in verse 4, it matters because if it's true that we have chosen friendship with the world, it means we are an enemy of God. And I reckon most people don't like the idea of having an enemy, let alone a powerful enemy, let alone that enemy being God himself. I mean, think about how serious this is. Picture this, God who created the entire universe, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and has the authority and power to decide what your eternity looks like, is your enemy. This is a big problem. A huge problem. I can see some of you look pretty devastated about this. So thankfully, it isn't a problem without a solution. Oh, thank goodness. I will show you the solution and the wonderful news in my next 2 points. So make sure you pay close attention. Let's get that silly slide away. So even though we've been in bed with the world and have chosen to ignore God, God still wants us. And in fact, he longs for us. Read from verse 5 with me. "Or do you think," Scripture says without reason, "that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, 'God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble.' Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." Now, verse 5, if you have a look at it, it may seem like a strange sentence. It might be hard to understand, and it's a tricky translation. Even my commentary said it's a tricky translation, as in the commentary I read. But this is what it means. God's desire and concern is that those who have wandered from him would return. Now, you might raise an eyebrow when the Bible describes God as jealous, and that's understandable. I remember the first time I read in my Bible, it described God as jealous at one point, and I was like, what? James is using marriage as an example again here, where because we have been unfaithful, God is jealous, and he is rightly so. If someone were to have an affair with your spouse, you would be jealous because you love your spouse, right? And this is the same with God. When we go and have an affair with the world, he jealously longs for us because he loves us. It's not like someone has an affair and you're just like, oh, whatever, I don't care. If you're having trouble understanding this, don't hesitate to come and talk, ask me about it afterwards. God wants us to come to him, and even after we were unfaithful, he gives us more grace, verse 6. And is that grace so beautiful? And he gives us more grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor, and even after we were unfaithful to him, he gives us more grace. And I reckon these next few verses are some of the most beautiful and encouraging verses in the Bible. Some of my favorites right here. Firstly, the fact if we simply resist the devil and he will flee from us is huge. He doesn't say, shoot the devil and he'll flee from us. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And not only is it huge, it actually makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense because God, whom we submit to, is strong, and the devil, whom we resist, is weak. So, of course, if we submit to God and resist the devil will flee. Secondly, verse 8 calls us to come near to God, and he will come near to us. We aren't left alone when it comes to approaching God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, to clarify, this doesn't mean that we have to be the first to initiate a relationship with God in order for him to come to us. It's not saying that. The Bible is clear that God, about God being the first one to approach and make contact. James is describing here the fact that when we come near to God, he will not hesitate to come near to us too. To illustrate this further, I'd like us to think about the other passage we read earlier, famously known as the parable of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. In this story, we have a boy who practically spat in his father's face so that he could go and live his own life. Sounds a bit familiar considering our first point that we were talking about earlier. When the boy came to his senses and realized his wrongs, he decided to return to his father and hoped that he would be allowed to live with him again, but as a slave. So then he went on his way back home and listened to the way Jesus said it. But while he was still a long way off, the son, that is, was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Isn't that a beautiful picture that the Bible gives us? When we come near to God, God does not hesitate to come near to us. If there's just one takeaway point from this passage to remember, it's this. God is approachable. We can approach God. He wants us and he loves us. When we come near to him, he will never hesitate to come near to us. James chapter 4 makes it crystal clear, without a doubt, that the God who made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, the God who has the power and authority over our lives, the God who knows our deepest and darkest secrets and sins, is a merciful God who we can approach. Have you approached God? Have you come near to him? If you have, when was the last time you did? I'm not asking this to condemn you or make you feel bad. I'm asking this because I want you to think about it. So if you have, when was the last time you came near to God? When was the last time you took a moment to just sit at God's feet, breathe, and pray? And if you haven't come near to God, whether that's never, you've never come near to God, or you haven't come to God any time recently, what's stopping you? Because if you're afraid, or if you're overwhelmed, or it's strange or weird, or you're worried that God doesn't like you, please believe what I'm saying. God is approachable. You will never find anyone more approachable than him. Never. Now the sermon isn't finished yet. I still have one more point after this, but I'd like to do something a little bit different to the way we usually do things. Don't worry, you're not going to have to like stand up and do something weird. Don't worry, I haven't got anything like that planned. I'd like to take a quick moment to pray again with you. And before I pray, I'd like to give you just a quiet moment to pray yourself and come near to our loving Father. So just take a quick moment, just a quiet moment to pray and approach God. Let's do that now. Father, help us all to come near to you. Thank you for being an amazing and approachable God. Lord, if there's anyone here who hasn't approached you before, or hasn't approached you for a long time, or maybe they're approaching you now for the first time, I just ask that you would help them and show them your mercy and goodness and seek you. Amen. Now, my final point is the fact that not only does God want us, not only is he approachable, but God will also lift us up. Continue reading with me from verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, like I was saying earlier, you can't turn to God without also turning from your sin. It's not possible. I'll clarify something in a moment, but if you're driving a car south and you need to turn and go north instead, you can't both drive south and north at the same time. Doesn't make any sense, does it? In the same way, like I was saying earlier, we are either chasing after the things of the world or the things of God. Not both at once. And just to clarify, please note that neither I nor the passage is saying that turning to God means you will never sin again. I'm not saying that, and the passage isn't saying that either. We will still make mistakes, but the difference is we're now striving for God and not our own selfish desires. And there's a lot more to that, but I won't get into that right now. Here, the Bible is calling us, sinners, to wash our hands, purify our hearts, to take this all really seriously and approach God. And when we have done all this, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at us approaching him. It doesn't stop at him coming near to us with no hesitation. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So when we acknowledge our sin and humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. Even after our lowest low of rejecting him, and not only rejecting him, even having an affair with the world, we can come near to him in repentance, and not only will he come near to us, he will also lift us up. Isn't God so faithful? And to continue using the parable of the prodigal son as an example, it doesn't stop when the father runs out to hug and kiss his son. The son goes ahead and starts his well-rehearsed apology speech, and before he can get any words out, the father goes, "Quick! Get all the best clothes, a ring, and all the best food, and celebrate my son's return. Even get sandals. It's awesome. He's back. He was dead, but he's alive." And in the same way, when we repent and turn to our Father in heaven, he celebrates with all the angels and lifts us up. And this is wonderful news because even though it is hard to turn from friendship with the world, you know, sometimes you might be thinking, I don't want to change. I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. Becoming a Christian would be hard. We know from these verses that it is absolutely worth it. And because of these verses, we know that we can trust God to give us everything we need, because he is good and shows favor to the humble, verse 6. When we turn to God, he won't shut us down and say, "It's about time. Your life has been such a mess. Look who's finally come looking for help." No, God does not shut us down when we come to him. He lifts us up. And so I'll say it again. Even though we rejected God and did not want him, he still wants us and longs for us. And when we turn from the ways of the world and come near to God, he will come near to us. Because God is approachable and he loves us. And not only will he come near to us, he will lift us up. Come near to God, sommeliers. Come near to God and he will come near to you with no hesitation. Wash your hands, sommeliers. Wash your hands and purify your hearts, and God will lift you up. I asked you at the start of this talk what your reason for getting out of bed was. I'd love to suggest this reason to you. Get out of bed tomorrow, sommeliers, because God is faithful. No matter what your past is, no matter what you've done, God is faithful. Get out of bed, sommeliers, because God is with you. Rise out of bed, sommeliers, because God will lift you up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us to remember your goodness this week and dedicate ourselves and our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.